Today on Real Radio.
The holy kiss is a direct statement against Judas Iscariot. Don't kiss one another with betrayal in your heart, like that unholy kiss that betrayed our Lord Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're now in the last chapter of this epistle, chapter 13. In the last five verses, the Apostle Paul wraps up his letter with an exhortation, then his final greetings. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Now, it's a lesson called Until We Meet Again.
So he says to them, look, number two, be complete or become complete, meaning to grow and to be growing in your faith, in your spiritual development. The word means to mend the net or to set straight a broken bone, to restore. Number three, be of good comfort. That word means to stay near, to be near to God. Listen, it implies that you are walking with God with every step. You don't really see that much in humanity or in our human day living, maybe with little children to some degree. But you know where you really see it a lot? And wouldn't, I tell you, it would be awesome if more Christians were like dogs. Have you noticed when someone has well-trained a dog, they're walking like this, there's no more leash. The dog is right there. Have you noticed that? Listen, when I come home from church today, my little dog is going to be waiting in the window. She's always waiting in the window. And she's like this. Her ears hang down. And I pull up in the driveway. I can see her through the bay window. The ears go up. Then she stands up. And then when I walk in the door, she literally goes flat on her belly. She's laying down like this. And her tail's wagging. And you know what she's saying? I bless you, Lord. I love you. I've been waiting and waiting for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of my master. Do you have a dog like that? If you don't have a dog like that, get a dog. That's how we're to be. Every step along the way, you go to turn to look for your dog, and your dog is right here already. Right there. That's the word. To be with him so near that we get nearer and nearer until we are in his pocket, so near. Be of one mind. Look at it in your Bible. That word means in the original language to be in, look, this is fun, to be in agreement or united around the necessary things and agreeable or tolerant toward opinion type of things. That's how Christians get along. Did you know that we do not agree on everything? Did you know? Did you know that? We don't. We don't agree on everything. But when it comes to doctrine, this is one of the things that makes us Christians. Regarding doctrine, we all agree. If I were to say something doctrinally about the blood of Christ, you should be able to go off on describing what the blood of Christ is, what it does, and all of that. And we would all go, Yes. Oh, yeah. But then somebody says, well, let's talk about this. And somebody may be an independent, somebody may be a Democrat, somebody may be a Republican, whatever it is, and we are completely in disagreement. And the Bible says, that's fine. You can just tolerate that stuff. Who cares? Tolerate that. As Christians, agree to disagree on that. But when it comes to doctrine, there's total unity on that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that cool? I love that. That's what it means. What a beautiful word that is. And then he says, live or be in peace. This is that word that means to conduct yourself peaceably. Because listen, we no longer at war with God. We have peace with God. Now we have the peace of God upon our lives. When worry begins to come up, the peace of God puts it down. When we go out into the world and it's a hostile or a volatile area of life, a job maybe, it could be relationships, whatever, we walk in peace. Secondly, verse 11 teaches us that until we meet again, we will be made more like Jesus in this way. He will be with us all along the way. Look at verse 11. And the God of love, three things. The God of love, we'll talk more of that in a moment, and peace will be with you. Three attributes of our God. God is love. God brings us his peace, and he'll never leave us. What a great statement. I believe that the importance of this truth will become more greater, church, of a reality as we enter into these days. We will endure these days that we're living in because, number one, church, listen, God knows we have been brought to this 21st century. You have, I have, for such a time as this. I'm going to say that again and act like you care. And say, amen. We have been brought to the kingdom, to this age, to the 21st century, for such a time as this. Amen. Why? Because God had your birthday happen exactly when he ordained it. He knew that you would be living on this day in human history. You are not a victim of happenstance. You are ordained by God to be here now. And you need to remember that. Because God doesn't make mistakes, and there's no coincidence activities with God. Coincidentals with him. His love will be with us. His peace will be with us to get us through these days and these years. And he will never leave you and I alone. I believe that's important. I love you, God is saying. Here's my peace. I'm comforting you, and I'm going to be with you. You guys, I've told you this before, but it comes to my mind again. And it's crazy because my daughters now are late 20s and early 30s. And yet I remember like it was yesterday, you guys do too, teaching them how to ride your child their bike for the first time. Teaching your child to ride their bike for the first time. You know the Saturday morning's coming. You've put the bike together, but this time without training wheels. There's a little bit of anxiety. You're out in the front. There's asphalt now beneath them. You're very aware of that more than they are. You with me, everybody? And you put them on there, and you tell them what to do. And at first, you're holding the handlebars with them. Are you with me? Like this, yeah? And you just get in the field. And you kind of go down the street a few times like that. And then, listen, when you start getting a little bit closer, you grab the back of the seat. And you hold the back of the seat. And as you're going, you're much more, listen, more in tune with what's going on now than when you had a hold of the handlebars. Why? Because you know what you are about to do. Then you turn around and you're going again, and now you're doing a little bit of a little fast walk or a slow jog with them. And then inevitably, you'll hear these words. Daddy, don't let go. Have you ever heard that? It's programmed in them. Daddy, don't let go. And at that moment, all the stories of divine, beautiful similitude of God working with us until this moment, we send a bold-faced lie straight to them. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. You know you're going to let go. And at the right time, you let go. As soon as you let go, as a parent, are you more concerned about what's happening now than all previous moments? Why is that the truth in the case? It's because we love them and we don't want them to be hurt. But we know that scrapes and bruises are going to happen, but it's not going to kill them. Are you with me? If we, in a sinful state of life, know that, how much more God for us? He's got a hold of your seat. And you're saying, oh, God, what? Oh, don't let go, don't let go. And God says, I'm going to let go. And the moment I let go, I will be near you more than I have ever been. My awareness of your presence will be so huge. I'm going to watch you like you've never been watched before. It is a glorious thing to keep in mind. All along the way, God is with you. Do you have an issue? Do you have a lump? Cancer? Vision? Money? Issues? Family? He's with us all along the way. Matthew 28, 20. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age. John 14, 23. And Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our home with him. Oh, man. Glorious. And then look in verses 12 and 13. Until we meet again, we'll be made more like Jesus from start to finish to start. What do you mean by that? From start to finish, I get that part. But I had to end in putting my notes together. I had to put to start again on the end. Why? Because to start with, you and I were born into this world. To finish is to finish the course of our lives, right? We finish. But listen, when we finish our lives here, we just start. We got to leave this place to go to his heaven. Isn't that a great start? The cool thing is, it's eternal. It's forever. And so what I mean by that is, verse 12 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Verse 13 says, all the saints greet you. Don't worry, church. I know we don't do that anymore, and that's a good thing. It's a cultural thing. Nobody really kisses each other like that. I mean, in the Middle East, you get smooched on all the time. It's really crazy. But when I say smooched on, the guys kiss the guys. Nothing gay about it. The girls kiss the girls. Nothing gay about it. It's a cultural thing. The men come up and on the cheeks, on the side like that. Anything more than twice, okay, something weird's going on. But it's the culture. It's actually very sweet. It's very cool. But when we talk about this, the point is Christian fellowship and warmth. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Not an unholy kiss, mind you. This is exactly why they did this. Isn't it interesting? The Corinthian church, like the entire church on the earth in the first and second and third centuries, of course, and since to this moment, the holy kiss, listen, is a direct statement against Judas Iscariot. Don't kiss one another with betrayal in your heart, like that unholy kiss that betrayed our Lord Jesus. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, in our culture, it's a holy hug. I heard somebody, actually numerous times over the years, say, you know, that church sure hugs a lot. I'm trying to get used to this church. It sure hugs a lot. Yeah, you know what's weird about that? There was never a rule. And I got to tell you, 37 and a half years ago when I got saved, people were hugging each other back then too. Is it a Christian thing? Is it a Western Christian thing? Seems to be, I guess. I don't even think about it anymore. Do you think when you greet people around here, oh, I have to remember to hug somebody? Oh, man, I went to church today. I didn't hug anybody. No, you don't even think about it. I wound up Tuesday night. I wound up hugging an enemy on Tuesday night. Were you here Tuesday night? Yeah. If you were not here Tuesday night, you were not here. Tuesday night was one of the greatest highlights of this church's history. It was absolutely amazing. By the way, by the end of Tuesday night, the news about it had made it around the world. Literally. There was so much love. There was so much love. And this one guy came up and he was a visitor. He was all upset. It was great, though. I couldn't hear a word he was saying because I'm 56 and a half. And it was so loud, I couldn't hear what he was saying. And I gave him a big hug anyway. He gave him a big hug. How you doing? I don't like you. Greet each other, we would say, with a holy hug. He says, all the saints greet you. Amazing. Know one another is what he's saying. Talk to one another. Care for one another. This is what saints do. And third and final, verse 4, we come to the end of the book. Church, until we meet again, look at verse 14. It's all about this. We will be kept by the power. Listen, we will be kept by the amazing work, by the amazing power, by the amazing Trinity of God himself. The Trinity of God. Verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, referencing the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The Trinity of God. We need not fear any longer. We need not think that somehow God is weak. In his last words to the church at Corinth, what can Paul say to comfort them, to encourage them, to give them hope? He announces to them the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, from Genesis to Revelation, a doctrine of the Bible and the character and nature of God, which is undeniable except by the cultists. God, as Christians, we believe in one God. We are monotheistic. But he reveals himself as Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. El, or Elo, we would say, God, Him, I am in Hebrew, plural. The plurality of God. Jewish scholars today argue with themselves over this. It's replete through the Bible. What are we going to do with this? They don't understand it. How is it that the one God, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, is one? Yes, he is. But it's a plurality singular. They struggle with it, and you know the answer. In my home, there's three that live in my home. Three. I have one address. There's one address. I have one last name. One last name. Under the roof, if you flew over my house, under my roof, on top, it would maybe, it doesn't, but it would have my last name on the roof, right? One name under the roof. Inside, three distinct personalities with the same last name. Jack, Lisa, and Tiffany, that little dog I was telling you about. Each are different. Each have different personalities. Each, as it were, under the roof, are co-equal, as it were, in under the roof, so to speak, but with the last name. God is one. Yet right here in the Bible and in numerous places in the Bible, he announces himself to be in a plurality. And this shouldn't be strange to us. Jesus said it himself. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name, not names, name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity of God is there for us. How so? Number one, write it down. The grace of Jesus surrounds us. Thank God. The grace of Jesus surrounds us. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The grace of God surrounds us. The grace of Jesus surrounds us, church. And will get us through all the way through to the end. The grace of God will do this. It is all about the Son of God. I don't know if you know, if you saw the news this week, you can go look at it later. But first of all, you know, in Jerusalem, on the Dome of the Rock Mosque, do you know this? On the Dome of the Rock Mosque, in Arabic, it's written around the Dome of the Rock Mosque. When they built that mosque, and when they, actually it was a Byzantine church, they converted into a mosque. They wrote around the mosque, God does not have a son. Did you know that? Islam writes that. Islam believes that. God does not have a son. God does not have a son. Did you see this week in Indiana, last week, three Columbus, Indiana churches, Muslim vandals sprayed on the church buildings. You can look at it on the news. The infidels say the most merciful has a son. That's from the Quran, chapter 19, verse 88. Islam denies that God has a son. Of course, has to. The Bible says in 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. God the Son. Secondly, the love of God guides you and I, verse 14 teaches us. The love of God. Every step you make, every move you make, every step you take, God is loving you. He loves you. He's caring for you. He guides you all along the way. God's desire is to guide you every moment, all the time. And finally, right here, verse 14, we conclude the book. We will be kept by the Trinity of God regarding God the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Spirit is with us, and Christians know it. He says, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Sounds like he's from Texas. Be with you all. Communion. This is that famous Greek word koinonia. The partnership of the Holy Spirit be with the believers. The intercourse, the communication, the fellowship. That's what that word means. Why is the communication of the Holy Spirit so important to us? Because it is the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives that makes us a church. Listen, it was on the day of Pentecost the church was born. Question, is the Holy Spirit here? How can we know? Because wherever the Word of God is taught, Jesus said, the Spirit of God will be there to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will give gifts by the work of the Word. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to His children to cause that church to grow and to be strong and to be effective and to make an influence. Ephesians chapter 4. If God the Holy Spirit is present, the Bible tells us that we will be constantly aware and waiting for the return of Christ. Think of it. If the Holy Spirit is present, there'll be love. I don't need to list the fruit of the Holy Spirit characteristics, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. It's all summed up in there'll be love. The Bible tells us in Jude 24, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Jesus has promised us. Almost done. John 10, 27. Mark it down. John 10, 27. Jesus said, and is it true concerning you? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Notice this. How do you know if someone's a Christian? They follow the shepherd. I give them eternal life. That's free. And they shall never perish. That's awesome. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Notice that. Verse 28 says, nobody can take them out of my hand. And then Jesus says, nobody can take them out of my Father's hand. You know what that looks like in reality? I'm going to show you right now. Look at this. I drew this morning. Do you see that? You see Jesus' hands over there? See the hole in His hands? Can you guys see that? Okay, and then there's the Father's hand. That's me in the middle with green pants. I got the blue shirt going, but the green pants. That's John chapter 10. Jesus says, ain't no one going to snatch Jack out of our hands. Whoever would try this would have to get through my Father's hands. That ain't going to happen. And whoever's going to have to do this is going to have to get through my hands. That ain't going to happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Until We Meet Again. It's a look at the last five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the closing chapter of this New Testament letter. Again, the title, Until We Meet Again, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament epistle. Now, this concludes this series. On our next program together, Pastor Jack begins a new, fascinating, and very necessary topical series. It's called You Need to Know. So be sure to join us from the beginning on that one. That all starts on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series has been filled with insight for me, as I'm sure it has been for you as well. And since we've had quite a number of Real Radio listeners call in and ask about it, we've decided to make an offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. I'm going to say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of this series of 2 Corinthians, all on one USB drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now call, click, or write, just mention it by name, 2 Corinthians, on the USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can be easily found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.